You have been waiting for some days, Sheila. So you are first, second, third. Booked out. Only ever in Israel does this happen. I promise you.
It's not the same question.
The question has moved on. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Yes.
Okay. So last time my heart was broken, it was a celebration. And I felt like kind of like what Elijah said earlier, that earlier in my life I was refusing to the pain.
Yes.
I was refusing it with, and I weren't open to it. And now I was like, not now, a few months back, I was like, bring it on. And I discovered amazing things because I identified with it. And I want to just share a moment that I experienced there. It was, I was really sad and lonely, I felt. And there was a sunset. I saw there's a sunset outside my window, so I went out to the street. And it wasn't as amazing sunset as there was here, but it was amazing to me because I felt like I'm really deep in a pit someplace, and like from I'm under the ground and I'm watching the sunset, and it's like I'm watching like the straight line from where I am to the sunset was so long, like I've seen more, I saw more, everything was vast.
Beautiful.
And also the duality that you were like, it was a lesson in duality, because I felt like there is the sadness that is in me and there is the beautiful sunset, and they're both existing in the same moment, and I was kind of like holding both ends.
Yes.
And I like no words to describe. And now the question is, feelings want to be felt, and also thoughts want to be thought, but I'm more focused on the feelings. Like, I felt like I got this amazing gift because I identified with the pain, because I didn't watch it, because I was in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure, like the Dharma maybe says differently, not to identify with the pain. And also I'm afraid that like feelings, if we're not feeling them, they sit, they have a lot of patience and they wait. So it's like traumas, they just wait for us for the moment that our walls are down and they burst in.
So your natural wisdom says to turn towards the pain, face the pain, exactly as it says in the Dharma. So we need our courage to be with the pain, with the feeling, with the sensation.
Mm.
You had the courage to be with your sadness. When you did this, something else opened up.
Yeah.
Which is also part of you. The capacity to know for yourself the vast, the luminous nature of mind, the infinite nature of mind and heart. So, when the Dharma says, don't identify with the sadness, it's don't wrap your life just around, I am sad and I'm stuck. But we turn towards every rock of our life, every difficulty, we face it, we see into it, we be with it. Mindfulness means to be intimate with, to be very near. But it's the way that we're very near it that's important. So if you could describe again, how did you actually face the sadness?
I was writing a lot. Yes. I actually was writing everything. I have like 11 pages or so of the process I've been through.
Yes.
And I was meditating, not as much as here, but also a lot.
Beautiful.
And I was feeling it, feeling my the fist in my heart.
Yes.
It was like
yes.
shrunken, and like I was breathing to it. Breathing to
okay.
it, breathing to it.
Just exactly as we do here.
Yeah.
Okay. And so then you began saying you were brokenhearted. But actually that was not what you discovered. Is there part of your heart that can never be broken?
I'm starting to discover it.
Yes.
I felt like, in a way, it was also a bit that I wrote, it's like the opposite of meditation, because in my world, like
yeah.
life is movement.
Yes.
There is no, also in I studied Chinese medicine, so a lot of my thinking is from Chinese
yes.
medicine,
okay.
and they say there is no, balance exists only in death, it's the tension between the yin and the yang that creates life,
mm-hmm.
but we still seek balance, we want it, we
mm-hmm.
keep going, so it's not something without movement, it's where the movement is the smallest, and that's what I feel like in my world,
mm-hmm.
meditation is the search of where the movement is the most gentle, and this was the biggest movement, like I could feel my heart like shrink and like get wide and shrink and eyes like doing like gymnastics, you know? So I felt like there's a lesson there as well in the imbalance. There is like a big lesson as well, like it's less pleasant, but it taught me something really big. Like
okay.
I have the capacity to feel the pain in order to get to the
yes.
gold, like
the release of the pain.
Yeah.
From the brokenness to that which is unbroken.
Yeah.
Unbreakable, unshatterable. And this is a precious quality of the heart. Is meditation really only about stillness or the least movement? Did I say that?
No, you never did.
Okay. So, could meditation be about both stillness and movement?
Yeah. Could you tell me about it, though? I mean, I know you wanted me to say
yeah.
yes.
So. You know me too well already. So, our heart can know many things. So our deepest knowing, our heart has the capacity to hold our greatest sorrow and our greatest joy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Your experience just showed you that.
Yeah.
There was enormous heartbreak, and suddenly there's also vast, extraordinary joy. This is the capacity of the heart. Our heart also has the capacity to be with the movement of life and the extraordinary stillness that we can sometimes know.
But not only.
But not only, yeah. So meditation is not only about stillness. It's about being with all that is, to see life as it is, as it's come to be. And yes, there's great sorrow. Yes, there's great joy. Yes, there's stillness. Yes, there's movement. There's connection, disconnection, inner, outer. All of the dualities. And yet we are asked to be with life in a non-dual way. So without dividing all.
Mm.
Without dividing anywhere.
Like that's we're asked for in meditation.
Yes, that's what I've been asking you for for days.
I'm learning a lot. Like, mostly that meditation is about just sitting and doing whatever, but being aware.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And our awareness reveals things.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, as in your experience, the awareness reveals the release from the pain.
Yeah, it was like freedom, freedom.
Did I say it was next? I said someone over here. Yeah, come.
It was hard to hear back here.
Okay. Is it on?
Yes.
My voice does drop sometimes in the inquiry.
Hello.
Hello. Yes, I think that's better. Is that better back there now? Okay.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, I'm Noam.
Welcome.
Thank you. So it's nice to see this, like, in reality, because I've been like in this loop over the last 3 days.
Yes.
Of me sitting here and speaking about stuff.
Okay. So we have great expectations now because you've spent 3 days preparing.
Yeah, so each time I prepared for in my mind it started like an interesting concept or experience I had.
Yes.
And my fear of this moment and anxiety of it made me criticize it and grind it till it was like I finished the day when it's not relevant anymore.
Okay. So.
And today I had a different idea of like what to speak here, like,
yes.
I just to say that it's also like I'm thinking of this force driving me to this, to have this experience. It's also something like. Like, it's not really clear to me why I want to be here now and speak when, like, so much anxiety
yes.
goes around it. So eventually, I realized that maybe the topic of this inquiry should be anxiety.
Hey!
And
all right.
It's something that it's good to know, like, my background with it. So I'm experiencing it quite usually in like different aspects every time, like there is a new one that pops in and like goes out, and I'm dealing with it quite like I'm satisfied with how I deal with my anxiety, because I mainly have like it started from a stage fright.
Yes.
And I'm a professional musician working
oh,
in an orchestra.
Okay.
Like on a daily basis.
Yes.
So I don't know, this is it was so strong, like during the last days, that I had to.
Okay, so what got you from your chair to here?
I had to stop the loop.
Yes, and how did you do that?
Like right now, or the
right
low
now.
3 days?
No, just today. Today's worth will do.
I don't know, I just decided that it will do probably good to me, and at least I can check whether it's just a selfish need to have
perform.
This experience.
Yes.
I don't know if I like
no.
if it's a
I'm
like,
teasing.
No, but like okay. But
so you faced the fear,
yeah.
and you stepped right through it, and even though you feel some anxiety, you are sitting here,
yeah.
talking about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Where in the body do you feel it?
in the chest, in my mm-hmm. heart. Like I like the last time I experienced anxiety, it was in a concert in a big hall, like
yes.
an important concert in an important
yes.
hall.
Yes.
And I just, like, I was tired of, like, oh, here it is again. Like, again, mm. are you kidding me? So I just sat there and waited, and the concert ended, and I didn't enjoy it at all. I was not functioning as I wish,
yes.
although no one noticed.
Yes.
And
this is one of the things about anxiety. You think everybody can see how anxious you feel, but a lot of the time they can't
yeah.
at all. Don't even notice.
Yeah. And I realized that, like, if I separate, it led me to start practicing meditation, actually, this experience. And
okay.
then I realized that, yes, it's mainly my heart beats really fast.
Yes.
And, like, probably my blood pressure goes
yes.
crazy. And I'm, like, stuck in this loop in my head.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what kind of thoughts do you have when you're stuck in the loop?
So these days, it's like a different situation because I'm like challenging my thought of like what to, like I just run the scenario. I run the scenario in the future. But when it occurs in the present,
mm-hmm.
it's something else. It's like I'm trapped. Just like there is no way out. Like now I'm I don't know, I just feel like my heart beats, so...
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you would, please, just close your eyes and put your attention on the tension in your chest. And bring very loving, gentle, tender attention to that whole area of your body. I'll take the mic for you. So really just being with that contraction or the pulsing of the heart, gently, softly, and just for a minute, and then I'll ask you what happened. So what kind of sensations do you feel?
Like, it didn't change a lot.
It didn't change a lot?
Like,
no.
But I'm also functioning. So
yeah, I know.
I'm suffering.
I know.
Just like...
Okay, so next step two. So if you would do it again for me, please. Just be really with that. Good. So putting your attention rather gently there. And now ask yourself the inquiry question. Is there a belief associated with this sensation in my chest? Yes?
That I'm not good enough.
Yes. I'm not good enough. Is it true?
No.
No. So we construct our anxiety with our beliefs. First we have the sensation somewhere in the body. The feeling, tone, which is usually felt as unpleasant or uncomfortable. And then on top of it, we have the belief that says, I'm not good enough. And then also what can happen with anxiety, if we know that it comes and we're a performer, then we also tend to get the fear of the anxiety coming. It will come while I'm performing and what will I do? So anxiety can also be the fear of the anxiety itself. So the thought, I'm not good enough, isn't true. So what are you going to do with that thought? Can we just see? It's invisible.
I mean, just, it's not true in like the big
mm-hmm.
picture, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But like in certain aspects, I want to be better.
Of course, no problem with that.
It's a good drive. It's the drive that like made me reach here and like it's something mm-hmm. that keeps me going.
A little bit of anxiety can contribute positively to us doing things well. Too much anxiety is, of course, paralyzing. And it can be felt as really debilitating and interfere with normal daily life activities. There's different types of anxiety, of course, but sometimes it can be quite destructive of a person's life. And you clearly are functioning, but there's this inhibiting factor. Oh no, not this anxiety again in the middle of a performance, which makes it difficult for you. So, can we just throw away or see the empty nature of this invisible thought? It comes, belief, I'm not good enough. You know it isn't true intellectually. Could you really, truly just let it go? How many people in the room have had this belief, I'm not good enough? Right. Right. Okay? All right.
Okay.
You got it.
Thanks.
It's just such a familiar thought. We all know it. We all know it's not true. Yes, of course, if we're a musician and we want to practice more to become better, we can improve. But that's not what this thought is about. This thought is, I am not a good enough person. Okay?
Yeah.
That's the difference, and that's the key thing, that we generalize perhaps a lack of skill in one area to I am not good enough, or somehow it gets tied up with being unworthy as well. So the belief keeps the anxiety in place and coming back. So are we clear? This is not the case. So what are you going to do with this thought? Can we throw it in the bin? Can we?
I'll just see it for what it is. I'll try to,
yes.
to look at it.
Okay, good.
Sorry.
Now, don't go yet. There's another way of dealing with anxiety, okay? And it is the method that I'm teaching here. And it's to turn the heart and mind to the absence of anxiety. So in other words, to start noticing and noting when you're not anxious. Okay, how many moments did you have today when you were not anxious?
Many.
Many?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you notice them?
Yes, some of them.
Some of them, okay. Okay. Can you remember sometime today where you just didn't feel any anxiety? Can you remember an instant out in the garden or sitting here?
Yeah, like resting.
Yeah, so here you are, you're lying on your bed resting. No anxiety anywhere. Was there any difficulty?
There was like some percentage of like me thinking about this conversation. But other than that, quite
okay, so there was a bit of projection into the future. Was there a moment when all of that was absent and you felt rather free?
Yeah.
Okay, so with anxiety, when we really face our fears, when we turn towards the anxiety and face it, we be with it, we be with it directly in the body. So we face our fear. We realize that there's certain beliefs that keep it in place. We deconstruct the beliefs, and that reveals our freedom. The opposite method is we turn towards the freedom. We notice the freedom over and over and over again. And the more we do this, the less the fear can exist. The fear is not fueled anymore. We don't feed the fear with our beliefs or our thoughts that construct it. So this is the other method. So when we really face our freedom, it's the complete end of fear.
I have one question.
Yes.
So, like, I think I realized that what brought me also to understand that maybe anxiety is the topic of this thing, is the huge bee in the room that
yes.
I was really afraid of.
Ah.
And, like, not paralyzed me, but I couldn't really focus on anything else. I sat here for the second time.
The bee or the fly?
Yes.
Whatever
yeah.
it was. Bumblebee?
Bumblebee, yeah. So it's, like, it's the second time. Enters the room and I'm like not good with it.
Okay, so there was the fear of being stung by the bee.
I'm not sure even that I'm afraid of being stung, but I'm just afraid of it. Like I don't want it to touch me. It drove
okay.
my attention.
Okay, yeah, so the I thought landed just as you said on the bee, and then it's like I don't want it to touch me, and that fuels the anxiety. Feeds the anxiety. Okay, so we have to see the emptiness of our thoughts, the emptiness of the beliefs. Now, one more thing. Anxiety requires a separate sense of self. It requires this I thought to be present, just as you said with the bumblebee. Over the days, so far, have you had any kind of experience where the sense of you, the sense of I, has dissolved a little bit?
Yes.
Yeah, can you tell us?
One time, like when we practiced the breathing meditation.
Yes.
Like. Entering, letting joy, feeling joy.
Yes.
So like a bit, my body disappeared, like just my hands
okay.
stayed. And it was, it's something I'm familiar with. And
yes.
like I always really like, wow, it's happening. And I'm killing it totally. And this time I just let it like vanished and it stayed. And
yes.
then fear entered and then it vanished.
Okay. Okay, so you start experiencing the joy. The direction was to cultivate joy or sit experiencing joy. With that came the dissolution of any sense of the body except for the hands. And then, of course, the I thought comes and says, oh, wow, this is it. This is what I came for. And then it's gone. And then it came back again because you steadied yourself. The experience returned?
Yes.
And then what was next? The fear?
The fear.
And the fear was what?
To be stuck in this state.
Yeah.
I had to check, like...
Am I still here? You're the second person who's told me that this retreat.
Yeah.
I had to check. Am I here? Okay. So the I, of course, the self... He's really afraid of disappearing. He's really afraid of not being in control of the show. So as soon as we have another experience where the I recedes into the background, what comes often is this rush of fear. What was that? So you're still here. You face the fear. You are fine. Anything more to say?
No.
So the I, the anxiety requires a belief or an assumption of this separate sense of self. Without it, there is no fear. We see and know the fear that subsides. So, there's many ways to work with anxiety. It's my specialty area in psychology. But the meditator's method that we've just heard is the most direct with the most extraordinary results. So give it a try.
Okay.
And you did it beautifully here in front of everybody.
Thank you.
Just sitting quietly. Yes, who was the third person? Someone over this side. Okay, come. Yes, I think it was you. Welcome. Look out there, say hello.
Yes. I'm a bit
I could see, that's why I asked you to look.
okay
Yeah,
I don't know if it would fade out.
So you have a question?
Yes. It's about a relationship.
Yes.
Like the direct question is, I want to ask you what is your view on relationship?
This is a big question.
Yeah. And I could tell some stuff.
Okay. So are you referring to an intimate relationship with a loving partner, or more broadly, relationship to the world?
To people.
To people?
To
okay.
people, yeah.
Okay. Say more. What's your interest in this question?
So I see in my life that I have these two movements. One is really focusing in myself and having like a really deep relationship with myself, like we have here.
Mm-hmm.
And the next is wanting to have contact with other people.
Yes.
And I really struggle in this one sometimes.
The contact with other people?
Yeah.
So the relationship with yourself is a relationship of what? How would you describe it?
Mm.
Are you comfortable with yourself?
Most of the time.
Okay.
Some of the time.
So you have a fairly healthy, free kind of relationship with your inner life.
I would say so.
Mostly, okay.
Yeah.
But then it comes to the interpersonal relationship. What happens then?
I want to share my love.
Yes.
I want to my love to people to be accepted.
Yes.
And I want them to be open.
Yes.
And also I want them to want like to be
to want to be with you.
Yeah. And like invited me and stuff.
Yes.
So it's okay, but then like there's a fear of
rejection.
It's a bit also like this, also a bit of a metaphor to
yes.
this.
Yes.
Like I was okay, I would put it aside, I would not raise my hand again, I would not feel this
disappointment.
So I have this, I don't know what to do. Like I want to be with people and I want to meet people, but
what stops
you? So it's so like hard emotions and so like also clinging and all this stuff.
So you have an idea of how you would like to be with people. You want to love, to give love, and to be loved. Yet your fear of rejection stops you.
Sometimes it stops, and sometimes I'm willing to feel it.
Mm-hmm.
But there is this place that I feel it's not healthy. Really, like, really wanting people, really like all
yeah.
my world is crashing when this friend don't want to meet me or
yes, yes. so there's
me and
yes.
then not
so there's present. A great need to be accepted, and we as human beings of course all want to be loved. This is so natural. We also all love to connect. And when we have some fear about this, and when the fear of rejection rules our life, then we also become more desperate for the connection, and that comes across as some kind of neediness. And when someone's really needy, what do?
I go away.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, how can you be with another, move towards another, with the intention of connecting, but without being needy and desperate? How could you do that?
I think I still don't really know.
Mm-hmm. I know, that's why we're talking about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. I also, like, now we're talking, I see that another, it's like,
another?
Polarized.
Like,
a duality.
It's also, yeah, it's
yeah.
also, here I have it, like, sometimes I have this moment that I want someone to notice me or...
Yes.
To notice him and
yes,
but then I'm always looking outside to get this
yes.
issue
yes approval
yeah
so we
but then I don't do it
yes.
so everything is I give it to myself and it's amazing
yeah so we look outwards for somebody to be in relationship with, hoping that they will give us the approval that we need, or that the other person's going to somehow make us happy. Okay. Is this your experience, that somebody actually makes you happy?
I get happy sometimes when someone is doing
yeah.
like...
So sometimes we are happy in relationship. Often, the relationship is rather short-lived, isn't it? Okay. So, does it really work to really want someone in order to make you happy?
Again?
We look outward for people to be in relationship with because we believe that somehow the other person is going to make us happy. Is that really the truth of things? Does another person make you truly happy?
I haven't experienced it.
Yeah,
like for
exactly.
More
exactly.
Than a month.
More than a month. Okay.
And in this month, I wasn't happy all the time.
Okay. On and off for a month. Okay. So, you could conclude that it's quite futile to look to another person in order to feel happy. So, and I'm talking here about deep happiness, not just the fleeting pleasures of life. So, what's the solution going to be? Where is true happiness found in your experience?
When I'm connected to myself.
Yes. Do you truly approve of yourself?
What is approve?
Do you truly approve of yourself?
No.
No. Okay. So this is where the disapproval is starting. Okay? Okay. What could you do about that? Could you change that?
Slowly, slowly.
Yes. Slowly will do as long as it changes. Yeah?
But I see that still the chavayot.
Experiences.
The experiences. Like, I thought about it that if I wouldn't come to here, so it would be another place of rejection.
Yes.
And I would pick it in my bag that I have from childhood.
Mm. Yes.
Of rejection. Oh, people don't appreciate me. And it would go on and on.
Yes.
Even though I see people does, but still, like,
so you don't really trust that people will appreciate you, care for you, be respectful. Is that your experience right now? Have a look. Does it look like everybody's rejecting you? Have half the people left the hall? Have a look behind you over there.
It's leaving.
Okay.
But I have this experience that people, like, I know when I'm bringing myself, people love me and, like.
Okay. So deeply you know.
Yes.
That there is nothing that we can reject about you. But you're fine as you are. So you know that deeply. But sometimes you criticize yourself. Sometimes you find fault. Sometimes you don't approve of yourself. Then you look outwardly with some neediness. There's fear of rejection. And, of course, what do we know about love? Sometimes we're accepted and sometimes we're rejected. We can't have one without the other. None of us are ever totally accepted by everyone. Not everyone will like us, and that's okay. Has to be. Because it's a fact. So, can you be steady in the face of acceptance and rejection?
It is steady.
Calm.
Yes.
Okay. So when you're feeling calm and centered, it's actually no trouble. You can feel it. Okay? When you meet someone else, do you think, having discussed it now, having seen that acceptance and rejection is the issue, you could be with someone without desperately wanting their approval?
Yes.
Yes. So what if they disapproved?
I think now the fear of losing.
Yes.
Is coming up. It's another issue in this area.
Yes, yes, I agree.
If I'll,
we fear being in relationship, and then once we're in it, we fear it will end, and we fear the hurt.
Yeah, if I'll really let my,
Yes, yes. If you really let your heart, what?
Hold it, myself.
To give in, to allow herself to surrender.
If I would surrender, I know it. I know it, I can really, really love someone. And
beautiful, so beautiful. Yes. You can really love someone.
Yes, and it's really pressure for me.
Precious.
Precious. It's precious. And also pressure.
A Freudian slip.
And I had lost people.
Yes. We have all lost people.
Yes.
And through death or the ending of a relationship.
Yeah.
Mm.
So
there's this wonderful movement of the heart to love. I can see it. It's beautiful. Live true to the love.
Yeah, so I want to really let my heart love and all this things.
Yes.
But I see there's this moment that when relationship ended, that is really I'm really falling.
Yes.
It's like something missing, it's like life without water or something that I'm really, really used to. And
yes. Yes.
So I need to get used to again.
So do you want to live life without water?
No.
So then it's going to take some courage, isn't it? It's going to take some fearless action to really let your heart surrender to love. The risk is, of course, being hurt. The risk is that love will end with this person.
I think that there's some attitude that I'm coming to relationship that's doing this pattern of ending or not getting really deep as I want this.
So I won't give relationship my total attention and love, because then if it ends, well, I know it was fine. But if I throw myself in, I'm at greater risk. So we hold back, don't we? We hold back. We stop entering some relationships because of that. We say, oh no, I'm fine by myself, thank you. Or we say, I don't need a relationship.
So what do you say?
No. I thought you'd forgotten. I think that having an intimate relationship or having really loving relationships is a wonderful expression of the heart. We as human beings love to love and love to be loved. And I think that living true to love is one of our great expressions of an awakened heart. So love, of course, is liberating and is also the expression of wakefulness, of intelligence. And it's such a natural movement of the heart. And what we often call love in society, our, you know, romantic love, is actually attachment. It's not love. Okay? And so when we really love, it's unconditional. We don't say, oh, I'll only love you if you do this, this, and this. That's not love, that's bargaining. Yeah, or if you love me too. This is conditional. Love goes far beyond that. It's deeper, it's greater, it's more vast. And this is the kind of love that is the divinity of love. And when we're really in love, then sometimes what comes up, of course, is possessiveness. This is not love. Attachment. This is not love. Criticism of the other. We want to change them. We'll love them if they're like this, but not if they're like that. This is not love either. This is criticism. So, when we love, it has to be loving fully. The profound love, the deep love. And what helps us with the fear of rejection is courage. Courage to really step through that which prevents us from really giving our heart. And that which, you know, if we don't step through that, we're living bound to rejection. And we're only living a half life, a life without water, a barren life. So that's my view of relationship. I think you need to look around the room again. And just feel the love and acceptance. So please don't let fear and fear of rejection shape your life. Live true to the love that I can see is clearly there. So with the first rather beautiful inquiry, we heard how we can really turn towards our pain and our sadness, and when we really do this fully, an extraordinary thing can happen. We open to that which is beyond our contracted narrowness of being caught up in the pain, and we start to see something broader and bigger and larger. That's actually infinite. Very vast. That's the description. And of course, our heart has this wonderful capacity to embrace the totality. And when we do that, it brings enormous release. And with the second inquiry into anxiety, the meditator's method is to bring direct attention to the sensations in the body. Just as the anxiety is occurring, tender loving attention. And then of course we ask what the beliefs and thoughts are that construct the anxiety. We see the insubstantial nature of that thinking or those beliefs. And with that, there's the deconstruction of that, so that it doesn't have quite the power to shape life anymore. So when we face the fears directly, we see the dissolution of the fear. The other method is to turn towards the freedom. When we turn towards the freedom, it's the fear that ends. We no longer fuel the fear with the thoughts and the beliefs. There are, of course, many methods also in the psychological world, cognitive strategies to deal with anxiety that also work very well. But as I said, my all-time favourite and the fastest route to ending anxiety or ending being incapacitated by anxiety is this particular method, which dates back to the Buddha. Extraordinary. And thirdly, the inquiry about relationship. As human beings, we need to know how to have loving, deep, profound, connected relationships with one another and ourselves. And there are many forms of relationship. Sometimes it's the mum, dad and the two kids or whatever. Sometimes it's absolutely not like that in the outer form. Yet there can still be the most extraordinary love. So my suggestion would be, don't hold back. Live true to love. And have courage. Take the risk. Sometimes we're hurt. Sometimes we're rejected. So what? We don't have to reject ourselves because of that. And deep, deep love that we can know is love for all beings. It's unconditional. It's immeasurable. It's endless. This is what the Buddha called the divinity of love, one of the divine qualities of the heart. Let's just sit for a couple of minutes. So thank you very much to each of you for listening and your wonderful responsiveness, and of course to the three who came. As usual, there's walking meditation followed by metta.